Good.
Okay.
Our stuff is like pretty synced.
Our cycles.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your Instant Pot stalking, poetry appreciating, butterfly loving friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your caftan wearing, 100% pure love singing. I have a zit on my lip, and so I turned it into a beauty mark using brown eyeliner friend.
And every week, Bethany and Kathleen meet up to discuss our... Oh my God.
So we're at that point where you're referring to yourself in the third person now?
No.
I like
okay.
it.
Edit.
Nope, don't and edit, edit, edit.
I read the copy verbatim instead. If you've ever felt like you don't belong, you belong with us. And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
the exciting topic... of where the vice president of the United States lives. And I didn't think it was exciting until I started looking into it, and it's fascinating.
That is exciting. I've never thought about that before.
Yeah, me either. I just wanted a haunted story, but it turns out it's way more interesting than that.
I always thought that maybe the White House had a carriage house, and that's where the vice president lived in the back.
That's what I was talking to someone else, and they thought that they lived in the White House too, just like a not as nice part of it. What about you, Kathleen? What are you talking about?
I was in a very grumpy mood, and so I did a topic about things that I'm mad about that haven't been invented.
Amazing. And so in theory, they are now invented.
I'm a curmudgeon. Invent this or get off my lawn, yeah. Kids.
Speaking of, well, I guess there's not a transition for this, but I do have to make a note about a previous episode.
Okay.
So do you remember last week my topic was things that you can do to help you feel not as depressed if you're having a hard time being motivated?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the things I do is like just inhale the aroma of potting soil, but apparently that's awful for you. We had a taste bud comment on our Instagram that, like, it can put bacteria in your lungs.
Oh, no.
So I was being a bit hyperbolic when I was like, huff it. Like, I don't actually, you know, I don't mean like shove your head in the bag, literally. Like, but maybe.
Like I did.
Yeah. Okay. So like, so be careful. Please don't like shove your full face in a thing of potting soil and like inhale a bunch. But just the smell of earth is kind of what I was trying to, but just be real careful.
Okay.
Okay.
You know what? I appreciate that heads up.
I'd never heard that before, but apparently it's like not great for you.
Did you watch the Super Bowl at all yesterday?
No, absolutely not. I watched the halftime show this morning on YouTube.
How was it? Was it good?
It was fine. Mm-hmm. I've never been someone who is a huge stan of The Weeknd. I also don't hate him. I just am not. I have zero feelings on him.
Oh, he was the musical guest. I didn't even realize.
And it was just him. He didn't have any like special guests or anything. He didn't have like Beyonce and Coldplay come out. He did, I think, as well as could be done in such a weird time. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Did you watch the Super Bowl at all?
No, I watched Amanda Gorman this morning. I watched her poem, and that's it. I haven't seen anything that came out of the Super Bowl yesterday.
I think that's the most important part is the part you watch. It was interesting. I mean, they had people in the crowd. I think they capped it. They capped it at like 22,000 or something, which still feels like way too many people, but whatever. And then they had cardboard cutouts of like everybody else like sitting in the seats. Whatever. It was fine. I think I stopped caring about the Super Bowl when they started releasing the commercials online.
Yes.
Beforehand.
100%.
So you're not really waiting for anything, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter. I don't know.
I watched over the weekend a couple of things on Apple TV. I started watching this show called Dickinson.
Ooh,
very cool.
Is that the
show.
One with Haley Steinfeld?
Yes, with Haley Steinfeld. It takes place in the actual era of Emily Dickinson, which is the mid to late 1800s. I'm sorry, I'm very bad with years. But there's really cool, modern, great rap music tracks behind everything. And they don't speak in the language of the time. They're like, wait a minute, or like, that's fly, you know, like, okay, those are terrible
examples.
Everyone's
always saying, that's fly.
No, they're using like modern Gen Z lingo.
Yeah.
But it's all about how Emily Dickinson wants to write poetry. And it's, I'm like, between that show on Apple TV and then Amanda Gorman, I'm like, hey, poetry is in again. I kind of want to start writing poetry.
Definitely. Poetry is something that I don't understand. And I wish I could. There's a squirrel outside humping my window. Sorry, I just got real distracted
for
a second.
You just have such an attractive pain.
It's... Wow. Okay. Sorry. Poetry is something that I think watching Amanda Gorman at the inauguration,
yeah.
I was like, oh, this is why people love poetry. Mm. Her poetry, her yeah. use of like her wordplay and like her ability to, I don't even know, just like manipulate words in a way that is so unbelievably, incredibly talented.
She's captivating.
I wish I could do it and I can't. I don't even know where you would start. I do not have the brain for poetry. I don't understand how you would even begin. I'm like, how many syllables should I have here?
Yeah.
Like I need to have some rules. I can do a haiku, but I certainly can't do anything like freestyle poetry.
It comes off as being really simple. Like you just put your feelings down and that's it. But there's really an art behind the syntax and the cadence and all of the different words that you choose. I signed up for Poetry 101. I think I was a sophomore. Because I did a creative writing minor and I was like, okay, like I'm going to extend this into poetry. And I had to drop that class. I couldn't.
What was one of the first exercises you had to do? How do you even begin?
You know, I don't even remember. I just remember after two classes, I was like, okay, it's time to drop. I'm in over my head because there are very serious poets in there.
I mean, it is such an ephemeral art form.
Yeah.
My thing is, how do you know how long the first line should be? That's my big question is, how do you know how many syllables or like how many words to put in the first line? Your gut should tell you. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. If you're a poet, brava, because I can't, my brain is not meant for that kind of.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I just don't understand it. And I appreciate it.
Maybe we could write a poem together.
I feel like it's not going to be good.
I'll start it. And then you, okay?
Okay.
Coffee. Brown fuel from the ground to my heart and my brain. Good morning.
Bring me another. Awash my body with awakeness. I am alert because you are of me.
Come hither, person who is of me. I am ready to suck your teat. I am awake from coffee awakeness, and the day is sunny and glorious. Let's make love. It's a cliffhanger right there, Bethany. Your turn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My heart palpitates. Mm. Is it from orgasmic delight or over caffeination? One won't know until the postmortem.
And once it's over, I will never remember you.
Wow.
Moving. That's wow. We are poets.
Wow. That's someone better cross stitch that onto a super long piece of fabric.
I have to tell you, do I seem more chipper this morning than I usually do?
No. We're both in a bad mood
No.
today.
Okay.
Wait, but you do. No, you do. You do. You seem, you're great. No, you seem
Thanks.
Happy.
Preesh. I have to tell you that after we released the episode, and I did the topic about reinventing myself, and I talked about living with ADHD as a woman, yeah. We had a mutual friend who got in touch with me. And we had a meeting on Friday, and we are now each other's ADHD accountability partners.
That's amazing. So how does that manifest? What does that look like? You're each other's accountability buddies?
Yes. So once a week or once every 2 weeks, we're going to get together and talk about some of the challenges that we faced during the week and set goals for ourselves and like swap tips and stuff. And so the tip that my accountability partner gave me was to start moving my bedtime time, so I'm waking up earlier. And so I got up extra early today, Bethany, and I listened to a podcast that my accountability partner recommended to me that I had tried to listen to before and I just didn't like it. And I'll tell you why I liked it this time. It's called What a Day. Have you heard of that podcast?
Yes, I love that podcast. They're great.
So a while ago, a gentle listener tweeted me about What a Day, and I tried to listen. I was like, I'm not into this. The difference this time was that I accidentally played the trailer before the podcast. And I got the gist of what the podcast was about through the trailer. And then I listened to the most recent episode and I was like, okay, yeah. Like I can get down with this. So I think you and I need a trailer.
We need a trailer.
Yeah.
Let's make a trailer.
If your life had a trailer, what would be the trailer for your life if someone was going to become friends with you?
Oh man. Her intentions are always good in a world. In a world where her intentions are good and she loves hard, but she's not great at returning texts or phone calls. Being her friend means she loves you a lot, but she sometimes forgets to reach out. Life will never be boring when you're friends with Bethany Watson.
And if you ever see a skull, buy it and give it to her.
Yeah, exactly. What's yours, Kathleen? We should have done them for each other.
I know.
What's yours?
Mine would be something like, she's working on the next step. Keyword working. Wait, aren't we always all just working, working, working? This is America, after all. The land of people who are terrified of taking vacation days. Mm-hmm. Maybe she needs to pivot again.
Yeah.
Like a couch you can't get up the stairwell. Kathleen's just trying to find a place to fit in.
Oh, it was actually quite good.
Thank you.
I like that it was also an indictment of the American culture. That's poetry. See, that's poetry. Many layers, Kathleen.
Before we get into it, we owe an apology for revealing who Gossip Girl is in Gossip Girl. A taste bud left us a voicemail. I didn't write down the taste bud's name. She's like,
I saw that.
Oh, no, but it was a review on iTunes.
It was a review on iTunes. They weren't mad.
No.
But they were frustrated.
They were frustrated.
Yeah.
Gentle listeners, since Bethany and I now need to do a trailer, if you want to call in a voicemail with the review that you left for us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please, by all means, maybe we'll put your voice in our trailer.
Totally. Yeah, that would be amazing. The nice ones, please. No. I left a 1-star and it's because Bethany's an a-hole. Actually, no, that would be kind of funny. Kathleen.
Yes.
Tell me everything you know about where the Vice President of the United States lives.
I don't know anything. You know what? I've never really thought about it before. And now more than ever, I am interested in where the Vice President lives. So tell me, Bethany, you tell me what you know.
Okay. Well, thank you for setting me up because that's my topic. So I learned as of last night that where the Vice President of the United States lives is called No. 1 Observatory Circle.
Is it like a star observatory? Does she have that big dome in her house?
She has 2 giant telescopes. It's a dope ass house, especially if you are a nerd. So here's a little bit that you should know about No. 1 Observatory Circle.
Okay.
Or as I call it, the Vice President's residence. So it's located in the U.S. Naval Observatory near the seaside of Washington, D.C., and it's a Queen Anne-style home built in 1893.
So I got to look up what Queen Anne-style means. Queen Anne... style.
Yeah, it's like, you know it when you see it, but I couldn't tell. I mean, like wraparound front porch, eaves. I don't know what an eave is, but I feel like it's an eaves.
So it almost looks like a craftsman house had a baby with a Victorian house.
Yes, that's very, very good.
Thank you.
And it's white. It's white. And I think green accents, I think.
Okay.
So the house used to house the chief of naval operations because it's the Naval Observatory. Vice presidents have not always been terribly important. If you watch the show Veep at all, you know that Selena often feels not important.
You keep talking about that. Every time you and I have a conversation, you find a way to bring up Veep.
I'm obsessed with it. I'm on my 3rd time going through watching the whole series. So they used to live in their private homes or they would stay in hotels while they were in office. But yeah. Congress decided that that was getting too expensive. And it was also really tough for Secret Security to fully protect the Veeps without a permanent address, because it was hard to set up security protocols if each residence was a new place and they had to start from scratch every time.
Yes, I see. You want to put a template in place, much like if you're a video editor.
Yes. It makes life so much easier if you just have a LUT you can throw on it. So another reason that an official residence was needed was because every time a new vice president came into office, they had to upgrade their home. They had to add quarters for Secret Service members to stay in. They had to add like a wider driveway and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Spiro Agnew, who was the VP under Nixon.
Never heard that name in my life.
You haven't?
No.
He was VP from 69 to 73. And he lived in his fancy new upgraded house that the Secret Service had upgraded at their expense for him.
Okay.
For only 3 months. Then he resigned from office. So he sold his swanky new upgraded home at a huge profit because of all of these upgrades that he hadn't paid for, the government had. This caused a bit of a scandal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can see why that would cause scandal.
Yeah, exactly. So in 1974, Congress was like, you know what? No more. So they refurbished this house that was at the Naval Observatory. Mm-hmm. It was for the vice president, but they were like, this is just temporary. And to this day, by law, the house is still the official temporary residence of the vice president of the United States.
You know what? I'm okay with permanent temporary accommodations.
Yeah. I listened to a podcast where it's three guys. It's Last Podcast on the Left. And technically, the third guy is still a guest, even though he's been the third host for like, you know, 10 years or something.
It's like when you move in with your parents to try and save money. And then all of a sudden, you're like, I think I live here forever now.
I think I just live at home. I think that's what that's happened. So this is fun trivia, in the back of your brain.
Yeah.
Vice President Gerald Ford was the first vice president eligible to live there.
Okay.
But he became president before he could use it because Nixon resigned.
Hmm.
So it was like, you can use it. Oh, wait, never mind. Now you're president. So Walter Mondale was the first vice president to actually live there.
You know, I wonder about accommodations like these. Specifically for politicians, in New Jersey, there's the governor's mansion. In New York City, there's Gracie Mansion. Because you know you're only going to be there for a finite amount of time, does it ever really feel like home?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I think about that a lot. Like if you – I've lived in apartments for, you know, less than 2 years, and it did feel like home. But I didn't go into it knowing exactly how long I was going to live there and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if you only know it's going to be 4 years, do you get attached?
Yes.
You know, the way. That's a good question. I haven't thought of that. Mm-hmm. I bet it does. I bet you get used to it, especially if it's nice. I think you get used to nice things real fast.
Or if you have, like, you get used to the comfort of your things and maybe not necessarily the crack in the wall. Do you have, this is a weird question. Do you have idiosyncrasies in your house that you're really attached to, like floorboards that creak and cracks in the wall and stuff like that?
I am really attached to the door in my bathroom that doesn't go anywhere. You know how I have that door that doesn't go in, you know, it's like it's paved over on one side. Yeah,
I have some of those in my apartment too.
I do really love that. And whenever they kick me out, I'm going to miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just get to know a place. It's like clothes.
Like Neil and I don't own the place that we live in, but I am so attached to this place. I was looking online for places to buy last night and I found a place I really liked. But I'm like, but do I want to leave this place that I've lived for almost 8 years now? Like I'm so attached to it, but I don't own it.
I also feel like you have the kind of relationship with your landlady, though, that like if heaven forbid she passes away, she would be the kind of person who would secretly leave it to you because she loves you so much. Do you think that would happen?
No, she has a really lovely daughter and a granddaughter who is much younger than I am. So she's got a lot of life left. I often think, how much would my building cost if my landlady passed away and I could make an offer to her family?
No, I've thought of that. I mean, but can't.
You know, like, can't. I will never be able to afford that. But maybe if my brother gets in on it too, and my mom and my mother-in-law.
I feel like you could probably convince your mom. She loves you a lot. And, you know.
And my brother could live in the basement. So,
Yeah, he doesn't really seem to care about his furnishings much at all, as we've learned. So I think you could kind of put him anywhere and he'd be fine.
Oh, okay. Back to the vice president.
Specifics about the home.
Okay.
The home is 9,000 square feet.
Holy Moses!
It's a mansion. You get a mansion.
What do you do with all that space?
You decorate. You decorate the living hell out of it. Here's what it's close to. You want to know about your neighborhood, Kathleen, now that you're the vice president?
I do, yeah.
Okay. You are 2.3 miles away from the White House, which with DC traffic, I feel like is far enough away to like put a good distance, but you're still like just like a 2-second helicopter ride away.
And if you wanted to walk over there, for dinner or like a Sunday night cocktail.
Yeah.
Close enough to make a quick walk.
Totally. You're going to get your steps in. Mm-hmm. It is directly north of the British Embassy. So that's fun. You get to hear accents if you want to.
Cool.
It is 1,000 feet from a Capital bike share. So you can ride anywhere you want.
That is really handy.
Yeah. It's like right on the grounds. Yeah. It's 1,000 feet away from an Einstein Bagels. It is less than 0.5 mile away from a Trader Joe's. So Kamala can get some of that sweet potato gnocchi if she wants.
Most important thing that it's close to.
I thought you'd like that. Mm-hmm. And also, if you're the VP and you and your Secret Service are bored, it is walking distance to an escape room experience called Insomnia, which touts itself on its website as Insomnia Escape Room is number one escape room in Washington. One of Insomnia's escape rooms is called Dungeon Things.
Ooh.
And I think it's based on Stephen King's It, but they couldn't get the right, so they just called it Dungeon Things.
Dungeon Things sounds like a place where you go to put on leather straps and you have someone walk on your back in high heels.
Yeah, sure do. It seems kid-friendly.
Yeah.
So, but I would double check that before you go into number one escape room in Washington.
Can you imagine showing up to like a sex escape room with your kids? And you're like, kiddies, children, cover your eyes.
It's like, okay, this is all about playing hide and seek. And everyone is dressed like a superhero.
Your kid runs in and sits in the swing and is like, oh, mommy, look at this cool swing. And you're like, oh God, that's covered in semen.
Get your black light that you learned how to make on TikTok.
TikTok.
Okay, so here's how it's laid out. The house's first floor has a dining room, a garden room, a living room, multiple lounges, a pantry kitchen, a reception hall, a sitting room, and a veranda.
That's so many rooms.
So many rooms. The second floor.
What's the difference between a sitting room and a veranda?
I feel like a veranda involves some type of outsideness.
Is it a jealousy?
Is it a patio? What's a jealousy?
A jealousy is like a porch. You put up some weatherproofing things on a porch to make it like a real room, but it still has big screens that you have to cover in the winter.
I feel like that's a veranda.
A veranda is a human sans serif typeface.
Nope.
Humanist. Vernada.
V-E-R-A-N-D-A. Like panda, but with ver on the front.
Okay, so let me say panda.
But without the first P.
Veranda. I'll tell you in a second. It's a roofed platform along the outside of the house, level with the ground floor. Okay, so it's a porch.
It's a porch. Just call it a porch.
Fancy porch.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The second floor has an additional bedroom, a den, the main bedroom suite and a study, and then the attic, which used to be the servants' quarters, now has 4 bedrooms, and then the main kitchen is in the basement.
That's how you know the house is really old, when the kitchen's in the basement.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a lot of bedrooms.
So many bedrooms. So let's talk about color schemes, Kathleen. I know you love a color scheme.
Okay.
So this is where it starts getting fun, because I guess the reason I'm so obsessed with this house is it shows you an inside view of how politicians are just people.
Okay.
And when you see how they live, you realize, oh, they're just people. And they engage in stupid, mundane things like choosing color palettes and hating the color palettes of the people who came before them when you move into a new house. So the Bush family, the first series of Bush president, they used a palette of Celadon. What color is Celadon?
It's a blue.
It's a blue. Okay.
Celadon?
Celadon. Lime green and light blue, which to me sounds beautiful, but the quails hated it and they got rid of the lime green and they used off-white, which is boring.
So Celadon is more like a seafoam green.
Oh, so it's very light and airy. That sounds lovely. So
tell me this again. Celadon, lime green.
Uh-huh. And light blue.
Light blue. You know, it's very like a sea. How far is this on a waterfront?
Yeah, it's by water. It's like by a river, I think.
Yeah, so this is sort of like a beachy waterfront feel. I see how it's very light and airy. Who hated it?
The next quails. The next quail, the Dan Quayle and wife Quayle, hated it, got rid of the lime green and used off-white. And it's like, okay.
Ugh, God, my dad used to love eggshell white. And
who loves, you can enjoy it, but who loves eggshell white?
Growing up, my house never had color. My dad painted everything eggshell white or antique white. And so now that my mom is renovating her house, we've chosen color for every single room. In the beginning, we were just walking around the house going, fuck antique white.
Like, yeah, my stepdad's favorite color is tan.
No, God.
And like, we give him crap for it, but I'm again going to call him out on like a national platform. Jim, your favorite color is tan. Like,
Jim,
come on, let's get you a pop of color. Let's put some brown in there.
Jim, let's look at an ecru with some accents of chartreuse. Like, that's like, a really beautiful combination.
That's a beautiful, Jim, you know what, Jim? Next time you come home, we're going to have redone the living room. And you're going to lose your mind because Jim loves to sit in the living room. We're going to reupholster your gym chair in like a lime green.
I was once just seeing a new therapist and it was a part of my life when I was really down. And she looks at me and she goes, so what are you good at? And I looked up at her and I had tears in my eyes and I said, I'm only good at color.
Oh, that's the saddest, funniest thing.
So, color in your house is something I'm really passionate about. Wait, so then they painted it off-white. Tell me more about colors.
That's all I know. I didn't hear any more specifics about colors, but I have a funny story about a bed.
Okay.
Okay, so Nelson Rockefeller, when he was vice president, he never actually lived in the residence because he already had a swanky-ass house, but he used it for social functions. Because when you have a spare mansion, what are you going to do? You're going to use it to, you know, party.
I think about that a lot. I do. Yeah. Having a separate, like, putting an extra kitchen in the basement. And that's the kitchen where you entertain and not the kitchen where you eat every day.
That's where you have your fun food.
Yeah.
So what he did have, though, is this bed that he put in the master bedroom.
Okay.
It was called the cage bed. It was made by surrealist artist Max Ernst. And it was apparently, according to Barbara Walters, covered in mink, and the head and the foot had these medallions of the sun and moon, and it contained trapdoors to hide lamps and telephones and electrical gadgets. It sounds a little bit like an S&M bed, but I don't think that's what it was.
It was covered in mink.
Covered in mink. So
what if you pee the bed by accident? Then you're peeing on some fancy mink.
Sure are. You're peeing on mink. I mean, you're peeing on, yeah, I guess you're peeing on mink.
That is extravagance to the highest level.
So apparently it was super gaudy. So then the Rockefellers, when they moved out, they twice offered this bed permanently to the house. They're like, we'll leave the bed with the house. And two different VPs turned it down. So George H.W. Bush was like, no, thank you. And VP Dan Quayle was also like, no, thank you. Yeah. We don't really want it. And the Rockefellers were like, are you sure you don't want cage bed? And they were like, no, thanks.
I need to see a picture of this. Hang on.
Let's look up Max Ernst cage bed.
I have learned during this topic that I know nothing about vice presidents.
Who does? It's really, I mean, like, because we don't hear about it very much.
Max Ernst cage bed. What?
Oh, it, wait, for real? No.
So there's a cage bed that keeps popping up, but I don't know if it's the right one.
It's literally a cage. If this is the right one.
Who would want to sleep in this? This doesn't bring joy to anyone.
It brought joy to him, apparently. So, gentle listener, picture a patio.
Mm-hmm.
No, picture a gazebo. Picture a gazebo, but instead of like a happy round shape, it's shaped like a prison cell.
Yeah.
With prison bars. And then now, on either side, there's the shape of a house, right? So it's like a roof shape, like a triangle, and then bars coming down. And on the foot of the bed, the same thing. And then two giant medallions. And then like a railing or cage around the bed. And then you're not really even sleeping up high. It's pretty much just on the ground.
I have an issue with beds that are low to the floor anyway, because I'm afraid that creepy crawlies are going to jump up and like a roach is going to crawl in my mouth in the middle of the night when I'm sleeping.
And it probably will.
But this is, I have to say, this is the most hideous bed I have ever seen.
There's even like a fake tree clinging to the foot of the bed.
A metal fake tree that the leaves are green.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. Listen, he was high or drunk when he bought this.
When you get money, your taste gets real bad. I'm just going to say this.
Why does that happen sometimes?
Because I think, look, I'm from no money, okay? Yeah. But I think that the difference between old money and new money, mm-hmm. from what I've been able to gather, is that old money doesn't care. Mm. New money is trying to prove something.
Yeah.
And so they want to show how crazy fun their taste is.
Yeah.
And so they buy a cage bed. But Rockefeller was old money, so that doesn't make any sense. I don't know, Kathleen.
A gentle listener, if you are driving, the second you stop your car, you have to check out this bed.
Look up cage bed. Okay, let's go quickly through a couple of things that vice presidents added to the house. Because you move in, you can make changes. It's your house now. So let's quickly talk about what some new vice presidents added. Because it's their house now. They can make changes, whatever.
I could talk about this forever,
honestly. It's so much fun. I hope people are enjoying this because it's just such a bizarre... Again, these are just normal people who move into a house and they get to do whatever they want. Yeah. For example, George H.W. Bush added a horseshoe pit and mm-hmm. a quarter mile track.
That's actually really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do whatever you... Okay, Dan Quayle. I think Dan Quayle did the most change. So he had the third floor rebuilt and added children's rooms up there and a wheelchair accessible entrance. So that's cool.
Oh.
He upgraded the master bathroom.
Okay.
And then he added a 525 square foot exercise room with a skylight up on the roof. He added a putting green. And the thing that at the time Vice President Joe Biden liked the most was that Dan Quayle installed a swimming pool and a hot tub.
Bow chicka bow wow.
Yeah. So when VP Biden moved in, he had world leaders coming over for lunch. He reportedly walked them to the backyard and showed them the pool by saying, "Gentlemen, I want to show you the Dan Quayle swimming pool." And then Karen Pence, Mike Pence's wife, added a beehive in 2017.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's like kind of sweet. That's surprising.
Yeah, I like bees. I want to raise bees at some point.
You mean mother added a bee suite.
mother added a bee suite.
What would you add?
Oh, I think I would add, I'd add a circus room that has like beams that can support like a aerial fabric and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I'd add like a tumble track.
What's a tumble track?
It's like a really long, what are those called? A trampoline. It's like a super long trampoline that you can run down and then flip. Yes. I can't flip, but I want to run and jump.
Yes.
I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah.
And then I think I'd add some type of grotto situation, but one that doesn't get slimy and gross like at the Playboy Mansion.
What's a grotto?
It's like, you know, it's like where a mermaid would live. If you have a water feature and you add some rocks and caves, you're adding like a pool. It's a grotto, you know. It's like where you go and you have like swingers parties. But
yes.
I would go to Reed. What about you? What would you add?
I would add a yoga studio.
Yeah.
/ meditation studio that always, you know when you walk into a yoga studio and it has that smell of incense?
Yeah.
I want a room that just is like filtering that through the air at all times.
So that's what my witch store smells like.
So if I'm ever stressed, I just go in there. Yeah. I would add a crafting room, like an art room.
Yep. Love that.
I would add a music room.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I would add a library too, like a big ass library, like in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. I would add a dance studio.
Like a big room.
Yeah.
You know? Where you can like stretch out, not hit something.
And then I would also add an influencer room or like a digital creators room or a podcasting room where it was all set up with amazing lighting and all sorts of gadgets to make TikToks and Instagrams and that kind of stuff.
And there's cameras set in filming automatically from every angle. So, you know, you can like cut away to awesome B-roll.
And an indoor food growing room.
So like a garden, like a green room?
Not a green room. It's like a regular room in the house that has all of these machines that produce artificial lights for plants to grow.
So like what pot growers use,
I guess.
Yeah, nice. I'd add a pot room. I don't know. I can't smoke pot.
I wonder what the budget is when a vice president moves in.
I mean, some of these are like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Okay,
let me see. Vice president redecoration budget. This information should be readily available for my clicking when I look online, but it is not.
I mean, I think in one of the articles I'll link in the show notes, I think it listed, it may even just be the Wikipedia entry listed
yeah.
how much different things cost. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars. A lot of money.
I wonder what that's like.
So at one point, Walter Mondale's teenage daughter, Eleanor, called the Secret Service because she said a man was in her room. The Secret Service burst in with guns, and Eleanor was like, no, it wasn't a real man. It was a fleshless man that I had sensed. And the Secret Service got very angry. So she thought she saw a ghost. And then at one point...
How old was she?
A teenager.
Oh, wow.
And then Dick Cheney's granddaughter was using the bathroom once, and she thought that she was flushing the toilet, but really she was hitting a panic button, and the Secret Service ran in. A couple times, like, apparently it gets very boring there. I know. Secret Service often play pranks on each other because it's super boring to watch over this place. So like one Secret Service agent said to another, hey, by the way, did you know we're allowed to do our laundry here? So the Secret Service agent was doing his laundry when Barbara Bush walked in and was like, you can't do your laundry here, but I guess she was very nice about it. But my favorite part, Kathleen, of this whole song and dance,
yeah,
is there is a secret bunker. People who lived yes. nearby right after 9/11 mm-hmm. started complaining they were hearing loud blasts. It would happen several times, lasting up to 5 seconds, and mirrors were falling off of their walls because of these vibrations from these blasts. So they started complaining about it, and they got a letter from the observatory's superintendent that read, quote, due to its sensitive nature in support of national security and homeland defense, project-specific information is classified and cannot be released. But they did not anticipate Uncle Joe Biden. So when Uncle Joe Biden was named vice president, yeah. in 2009, he was like, there's an underground bunker beneath the house. And then his press secretary the next day was like, he didn't mean that. What he meant was that there's not an underground facility, but there's an upstairs workspace.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So it's really just an upstairs workspace.
Joe, come on. You know better. You know you're not supposed to spill those secrets.
Yeah. So the Christian Science Monitor thought that Biden was probably referring to a tunnel that leads to one of the Navy-operated telescopes on the grounds. But I think there's probably actually a bunker.
I've always wanted to live in a house with a bunker. I mean, me you and too. I have this like weird obsession with secret doors.
Yeah.
But an underground bunker.
So fun.
So fun.
So fun. So there's also like amazing, there's like a, on the grounds, because this is also like, you know, an observatory. So there's yeah. an amazing library with really old books by like Copernicus. And mm. there's these two massive telescopes. And apparently Al Gore really loved to be in there. He got to watch the Hale-Bopp comet come through in 1997. And Alan Hale of Hale-Bopp, stood next to him and gave him a running commentary as he was watching the Hale. Like, this just like nerd out. He loved it.
Space science is the coolest science.
It's so great. Mm. I mean, just like, what a bomb-ass place to live. So Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff don't live there yet. Mm-hmm. There's some renovations being done. Apparently the chimney needed some repairing mm-hmm. and there's some maintenance. So they're living at the president's guest house called the Blair House, but they'll be moving in at some point.
Ooh, I would love, you know, that Architectural Digest or, you know, some other high-end decor magazine is going to go in and be like, okay, Kamala, show us what you got going on.
I know, but so often the focus is on how they're redoing the White House. Yeah. And so this is like being the second child. You get all the hand-me-downs and no one cares about how you're doing in school. No one cares about what they're going to do. And I'm really excited because Doug Emhoff is the first second gentleman. And so a lot of his role is like having people over, you know, hosting fates and decorating for Christmas. Yeah. I want to see what he's going to do. I want to see what he's going to add to this house as like a gentleman,
you know,
what his style is.
I love it when cisgender men get put into what is seen as a typical female role.
Yep.
And totally. How they thrive in it. Yesterday, a friend was telling me about this guy. You know, we've talked about those crafting machines before on the podcast, the Cricut or the Circuit.
Yeah, the Cricut.
The Cricut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how there's this guy on TikTok that's like, I didn't know that I was going to become a Cricut diva, but here I am. And he's just fun. Like this straight male making crafting videos. And you know what?
It's fun.
I'm here for it. I love the flip-flop of the gender roles.
Totally. And Doug Emhoff seems really cool. He said that he was honored and humbled to be the first man taking on these roles. And he said he really wanted to set an example for men in the future who are taking on these roles and kind of show what he can do with the position and how he can make it work and how he can serve. And I think it's great. I love it.
I'm looking forward to seeing what is in store. door for them.
Yeah, me too. So now you know a little bit more about where the vice president's living.
Thanks, Bethany. Now I can go on Jeopardy. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
I was a grump last night.
What happened?
I don't know. I was just like feeling very curmudgeon-y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that feeling.
I started getting really mad at the world for things that haven't been yet invented that would make my life a lot easier.
Oh, I thought maybe some kids were on your lawn. No, that's a good, I mean, so yeah, that's a good reason to be upset. Life should be easy.
So my topic today is, this is what I have written in my Word document, verbatim.
Okay.
Things that I'm mad about that haven't yet been invented, plus weird slash dumb slash maybe useful things that have been invented that the world should probably know about.
What's your list about? That's a great title.
What's your list about? Thank you. Okay, so here's what I'm very mad about.
Okay.
Storage beds.
Yeah, they're useful. I have one. You have one.
I have one at my mom's house. You have one.
Yeah.
Your bed is pretty high. Your storage bed is from IKEA, right?
Yeah, so my storage bed, it has four big drawers, and then you're supposed to be able to just put your mattress right on top of it because there's slats that you buy, but I like being high, so I also put the box spring on top of the slats and then my mattress on top of the box spring.
Okay. So here's my thing about storage beds is that I have been saving money for a storage bed for years. There's one from West Elm that I really want. And like every time my mom or my mother-in-law, they're like, oh, let us get you a present for Christmas or your birthday or whatever. I'm like, just a West Elm gift card because I'm saving them. But then I was like looking at the West Elm storage bed in the actual store and it's a farce because there's just two little drawers on the side. You can't really store that much underneath there. And so it got me thinking, why don't they make stackable storage beds, like a bento box? Right?
Yeah.
So your bed could be as high as you need it to be.
Yeah, yeah. You can Princess and the Pea that shit.
And you can store as much underneath as you want. And the bento box layers should come in different heights.
Kathleen, this is an amazing idea.
So for instance, like if you want to store like lots of blankets, that's going to be a thicker layer.
Yeah.
But maybe you also want to store shoes
underneath
your bed. And so that's going to be a thinner layer bento box.
Especially if they're ballet flats.
Exactly. They're nice and thin. Here's the thing is that one of my favorite places to shop for furniture is at furniture stores targeted towards teenagers.
Why? First of all, I didn't know there were furniture stores targeted towards a teenager has money to spend on furniture? What store is this?
Pottery Barn Teen.
Mm-hmm.
West Elm now has, I think, a furniture like label for teenagers. So there are these things called captain beds. And they're sort of like the beds that you had in the dorms. Like, I don't know if you ever had one of these beds. I had a bunk bed where the desk could go underneath.
Yeah, it's like, what do they call that? Lofting it.
Like a loft bed.
Yeah.
So there are these things that Pottery Barn sells, West Elm sells it too. They're called captain's beds. And it's like a heavy duty platform bed. The bed is really high. There's like a little ladder to get onto the bed, but there's all of this amazing storage underneath. I'm like, wow, I want one of these. The problem is because it's made for teenagers, it only comes in size full.
Ugh. This is so limiting.
It's so frustrating. Have you seen that bed frame company that has come out recently? I have a friend who just bought something from them where there's no screws. It's only wood slats that fit together. And there's like not a ton of tiny little parts.
No.
What is it called? Bed frame, no screws. It is called Thuma. Go to ThumaBeds.com.
Thuma. It sounds like Thuma Erman.
The website is thuma.co, okay? And it gets delivered to your house. You don't need a screwdriver. It's just all these little slats that fit into each other. Why can't we have the same thing with a storage bed that you can buy different layers that you want?
Kathleen, there's no reason we can't have this thing. Like, this is where IKEA should be. Okay, so you know how you have the Billy bookcase? Like, IKEA sells a Billy bookcase every second.
Yeah.
They have additional rows you can add on top of your Billy bookcase in case you have a high ceiling. They should do that with beds. This is brilliant. I don't know why they don't have it.
Thank you. So I got so mad last night in the middle of the night because I can't sleep anymore. I was like, why don't they make a storage bed that can accommodate me? So I made a list of other things and I'm really mad that haven't.
By the way, I think you should write a strongly written letter to Thuma or to IKEA or to someone. This is not a hard thing. This is not a hard thing.
Not a hard thing. Okay. Another thing that I'm really mad that hasn't been invented yet.
Mm-hmm.
an app that connects to all the grocery stores in my area to tell me which of my favorite products are on sale.
Ooh, good.
So you have this app. You put in your favorite things. Like, I like Califia almond milk, and I like Oatly oat milk, and I like Chobani yogurt, or whatever. And then it's like, okay, you're going to want to go to the Acme for Chobani. You're going to want to go to ShopRite for Oatly. And at Trader Joe's, mandarin oranges are on sale. We know you love those. Why doesn't that exist?
I feel like that's a plug-in for shopping in general. I don't, it's not, is it Shopify? I don't think it's, but I don't feel like it's grocery specific. So I think that, I think we're close, but I think you're right. We're not there yet.
Not there yet.
Not there yet.
Okay. Another thing. Why hasn't anyone invented a procedure that removes nail cuticles permanently?
So I feel like cuticles are there to protect your nails.
Are they?
Yeah.
Like, how do they protect your nails?
I think they prevent germs and bacteria from getting inside the nail bed, is my guess. I've been told you're not supposed to cut them off. I've been told you're just supposed to push them back.
Ugh, man.
I feel like they're there. I feel like we're there for a reason. But also, I hear you and I honor you.
Why do cuticles exist? Like, I know why nose hairs exist. Yeah, cuticles function to protect new nails from bacteria.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
All right, I'll take that one off my list. Okay.
Okay. I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't want to like yuck your yum.
No, it's okay. A retractable bathtub.
Yes, I saw an episode of a horror show once that had a retractable bathtub, and that's where they kept the bodies.
Really?
Spoiler alert.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was an episode of the one with the magician who in his free time solves crimes, but he's a magician inventor guy. Jonathan Creek. And there was like an old house and they had a bathtub and all these people went missing. And it turns out that they took a bath. The bathtub like pulled out, dropped him into a giant pit of water. Spoiler alert. And then they found out when a woman screamed and they pulled her out and they found all these other bodies.
Well, imagine this.
Retractable bathtub.
Imagine this. You have a space in the wall where there's some shelves that you use to store things. And then at the push of a button, your bathtub comes out of the wall. And you take a bath and it goes right back into the wall. So A, dirt and dust are not getting into your bathtub when you're not using it. And B, you don't have to worry about not having enough room in your bathroom.
It's like a Murphy tub. And then all of the pipes are just, you know, in hoses that can like accordion in and out. And so everything's fine. This is a great idea.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
I know this next one might be a little bit controversial.
Okay.
Why isn't there an implant that you can get in your body that tells you how many calories that you've eaten during the day?
Okay. This is why I think it is.
It's a little bit problematic. I understand.
No, I think it's because in theory we're supposed to listen to our bodies telling us when we're hungry or not.
I don't want to listen to my body. I got your lies.
My nutritionist keeps telling me to listen to my body. And I'm like, sure isn't talking.
This is the thing. My body sends mixed messages. But why doesn't this exist yet?
I bet it will soon because there's apps and stuff and, you know, so far you have to like input it. But so you want something that's like directly connected to your stomach that is able to sense what's going in and like break it down nutritionally and tell you
exactly.
ABCD.
It would help me so much if I knew that I was getting the right amount of calories every day. Like I wouldn't use it to cut calories. I would use it to like make sure I was getting, what is it, like 1,800, 1,500, 2,000, like different heights, different strokes, folks. Why that needs to be, like I'd like a little plug-in, like right here.
You want a port?
A little port, top of my wrist.
You want a port, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's a slippery slope, but I hear where you're coming from.
Okay. An app, you hold it up to someone's face, and this app does two things. It tells you if this person has STDs. It also tells you if this person's a good person.
So I would love this.
I would have hooked up a lot more in college if I had access to something like this.
Yes. Could I add a third thing that it tells you?
Sure.
If you've met this person before, because I don't recognize faces, nor do I recognize names. So it would be really helpful. It's like, you've met this person before. Also, they do have an STD and they're a bad person. So then I at least know that like I can network with them, but not to have sex.
I would have done so much more hooking up in college.
Yeah.
But I was always afraid of catching herpes.
Love? Oh, herpes. I mean, I feel like there's probably some privacy issues. You know, there's like some HIPAA laws that would be violated, but like whatever, who cares? It's not like tech cares about our privacy anyway.
And also I'm going to add a fourth thing that this app needs to do.
Sure.
There needs to be a feature in the app that's a risk assessment section. And I say this in terms of like Have you ever seen that documentary on Action Park, which was that very dangerous, sometimes deadly water park?
Often deadly.
Often deadly. Yeah. Water park that existed in New Jersey.
I haven't. What's the documentary called? Is it called Action Park?
I think it's called.
Because I've heard podcasts that cover Action Park. Dennis grew up in this area, and so he went to Action Park growing up, and they went in once, and someone was being carried out on a stretcher as they went in.
Yes. So it's called Class Action. You can watch it on HBO Max.
Watching today.
It is an amazing documentary. I wasn't old enough to go to Action Park, but I have friends that were, and they said it was amazing. But a lot of the rides and water slides and that kind of stuff, it was going to probably harm you. I would love an app that I could do more dangerous things, that right before I was about to do it, I opened the app and the app would tell me, go ahead, you'll be fine, or like pull back.
So do you want this app to be able to tell the future or to just assess the statistics of how dangerous it is?
Assess the statistics of how dangerous it is based on your age, your weight, your height, and your recent blood work.
Okay, fair. I think that'd be great. It probably would have kept me from doing stupid things, and it probably would have allowed me to do more things that I think would have been fun for me.
Because as I get older, I'm like, oh, too dangerous, can't do it.
I'll never go on a roller coaster again, I don't think.
I really want to learn roller skating, but original vintage roller skates, they just look dangerous to me.
I think you can learn to roller skate. Okay. I mean, it's four wheels. There are people riding around on one wheel right now.
All right. Sneakers that make you run faster. I've talked about this before.
Yeah, totally.
Sleeping pods.
Explain.
Why don't sleeping pods exist? Like you get into your pod and like a coffin that you sleep in.
I think Google has that.
Really?
Doesn't Google have that? Okay. Or Facebook where you can like take naps during the day? I think they have, or they did before things got real serious.
A self-protecting house. So,
ooh, I love that.
You hit a button and the house just like all this metal comes down and house armor. Choo,
goosh, goosh, goosh. I love that idea.
For what's it called when they kill people, when you can kill
the
someone? For the purge or hurricanes.
Mm-hmm. It's like storm windows but for your whole house.
And a portable mini sauna. I don't think that exists yet.
Okay, so here's my question. So you...
Oh, that does exist. Never mind. Look it up.
Wait, it does?
Oh my God, Benny.
Where would you bring it?
Look it up. It's like a tent and you can just sit your body in it. I wish you could get it for $74. That's not that.
Where are you going that you want to bring a sauna with you? Because you're going to be gross and sweaty. Where would you bring the sauna?
Sometimes I just want to sweat the toxins out, even though I don't believe
where? At Target? Where are you going to go and bring this with you?
I don't know. On vacation. I would use it in my house. Very quickly.
Wait, can we go back to the portable sauna really quickly?
All right, sure.
Because why, if you're going on vacation, then just go someplace that has a sauna.
What if I'm doing like an Airbnb and I'm on a budget and, but also I would like to go in the sauna. What if I just want to go in the sauna in my apartment in Hoboken, New Jersey? I can't fit a sauna in this place.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the kind where her head is sticking out and so are her hands?
Yes. Isn't that cool?
Okay. Continue. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, and then one more thing before I'm going to tell you some really ridiculous things that have already been invented.
Okay.
I'm a creep, and I say that in the most lovingly way, but I'm a creep. Mm-hmm. Sure. If you live in a nice house and I like your house, mm-hmm. I'm going to try and look in.
Okay, that's upsetting.
I do this in my neighborhood. Specifically, there's this one house that's for sale. They just redid the whole thing. It's like $3 million. Oh. I'm like, oh, can I just get a look inside?
Yeah.
The whole back of the house is glass.
Nope, 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 nope. Nope.
You can see it from the street. So theoretically, if I were to move in there and I were making dinner, like someone on the sidewalk could just see head to toe me making dinner.
Yeah, that's how you have problems. That's how someone murders you.
Exactly, because they know exactly what your life patterns are.
Yeah, that's awful.
Why has it not been invented yet that homes are built with windows that can see outside, but not windows that can see inside?
Like one-way mirrors?
Like a one-way mirror, like a one-way window.
Yeah. It's probably, I bet it's been done, but I just wonder if it's maybe too expensive, or maybe, this is what I think, Kathleen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're wealthy enough to be able to make the decision that you want an entire back of your house to be windows, you have a certain level of detachment from the world that you feel untouchable and invincible.
I understand what you're saying.
And so you're like, nothing's going to happen to me. There's like a lack of being concerned.
What if you're naked and you want to make an omelet? You can't do that when you live in a glass house.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. And you can't throw stones. And I know that you and I both love to throw stones.
You know, in your bathroom, you have that contact paper on the window that's next to the toilet so people can't see you do the poops and the pees.
Yeah, it's like a frosted window. Yeah, that's nice.
You could really use a pane of one-way glass right there, and then you wouldn't have to have the frost.
Right, and anyone who thought that they were looking into my window would only see a reflection of themselves, which would maybe make them look inward at what they were actually doing, you know?
Okay, let's play a game. These are things that have already been invented, and I want you to categorize them.
Okay.
Really dumb but useful. Maybe I'll buy it.
Okay. Really dumb but useful, or maybe I'll buy it.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Metal detector sandals exist.
Oh.
For the beach.
Maybe I'll buy it. Do we know how much they are?
I don't know how much they are.
That's okay.
Maybe
I'll buy it. No, it's okay.
I embarrassed my friend very much this summer. We were at the beach and I stopped somebody, you know, they always come out like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
They're like looking for, I was like, have you ever found anything? They said no. Oh. So why do you spend your time doing this?
I remember growing up, one of the prizes that they always gave away on Double Dare was a metal detecting set. And I was always so jealous when they got the metal detectors. I've wanted a metal detector my entire life. So yes, I want those sandals.
You want those sandals. Okay, here is something that they don't make anymore, but I cannot believe that this was invented. It's called the DoorU 216 camera. So this is a camera that looks like a gun. It was created in 1954 before police had body cams, and the police would take it out and it would make a sound like a gunshot, but it was actually the police just filming what was going on the job.
What's the purpose of it making a sound like a gunshot?
To scare criminals, but now you have their face on camera.
Oh, wow.
Bethany, look it up. DoorU.
DoorU.
216 camera.
Oh, one's for sale at Christie's. We can't afford it.
No, there was one that sold for $25,000 recently.
Ooh.
Isn't it insane looking?
Whoa. Okay, gentle listener.
Yeah.
It looks on the back like a black plastic or metal handgun. But the front, it's an old-timey silver camera lens.
Yeah.
Tiny, like you can focus it. It has like these tiny little couple of lenses you can focus. And it can be yours for 4,000 to 6,000 Great British pounds.
Okay. All right. Moving on. A nose stylus. So instead of using a stylus to, I don't know, do things on your iPad or your Palm Pilot or whatever,
there's
a nose stylus. You put this stylus like a mask and it's really long and pointy, and then you can use it to type.
Except for people like with limited hand mobility slash no hand mobility.
Yeah, like a bird.
Oh, that's probably still useful.
Useful?
Yeah, useful if you need it.
Okay. The baby mop. Have you seen this? It's a onesie that you put your baby in and it looks like a mop. And then the kid crawls all over the floor and then cleans at the same time.
Friggin' useful. If I had a kid, I would buy that. Of course, put those kids to work.
Useful.
Young. Useful.
Okay. I'm really excited about this next one.
Tell me.
The inner selfie stick.
The inner selfie stick.
It is.
You look so happy.
I'm so happy. It's like a wire, like a black wire.
Okay.
You connect it to your iPhone or your cell phone.
Okay.
At the other end, there's a little camera, like an endoscope camera, and you can put it inside your body, and then you see on the screen of your phone what the inside of your body looks like.
Absolutely not. Why are you putting something down your own throat? Never should you put something down your own throat. I had to give myself a COVID test the other day and put the swab up to my brain and rub, and that was more than I ever wanted to do to myself.
No.
Well, you can't put something down your own throat.
I would love to put something in my nose, or maybe, Bethany, what about you could put it in your
anus? Don't put it up your anus. I knew you were going for anus. You always go for anus. No, absolutely. Is that a real thing?
Yes, it's a real thing, Bethany.
No,
you could get it for $40. It's called the inner selfie stick.
No, that's too cheap. That's too cheap to put something up your own anus.
The product description claims that the camera offers crystal clear 360 views of internal contours. So you can look inside your throat, your
anus. No.
So dumb.
No, not dumb.
I think
just
it's
not
useful.
Safe.
Maybe I'll buy it. I'm putting it in that category.
Please don't buy it.
Okay. This one I think is really cool. The ice cream cone rotator. So it's a plastic ice cream cone, and then you put the ice cream in it, and then you just have to hold it static and it rotates.
Because we're lazy enough that we can't turn our own ice cream cone around.
I will tell you this. Have you ever heard of the Ember mug?
No.
What?
I've not. Don't yell at me.
I have been buying things late at night.
Yeah, I know.
And so I bought an Ember mug late at night. It is a USB mug. It's very popular. I'm surprised you haven't heard of this.
Never heard of it.
It's a USB mug that when you put your coffee or your tea in, you've charged the mug. So it keeps your coffee and your tea at the perfect temperature that you want because it connects to an app on your phone. And then all day long, you have hot coffee and tea whenever you pick it up to take a sip.
Why is it connected to an app?
Because the app, you can dictate the temperature that you want it to be.
Here's my thing. Okay.
I'm so excited. I don't have to go to the microwave to heat up my coffee anymore.
That's really good. That's really good. If you take a long time to drink something, I think that's wonderful. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
My problem is I have no storage on my phone. I cannot afford to have another app.
Bethany.
I can't have any more of my things connected to my phone. What happens if you lose your phone? Now your coffee's cold. And then what will you do?
You have money to buy a new phone. I guarantee
Why?
You do.
I don't want a new phone.
Bethany, you need a new phone. You need storage. You're a digital creator.
I just need to delete some things off my phone. I just need to delete some photos of the cats. But this is cool. Ember mug. Is it EMBR? Is that how they spell it? Or like MBR?
Yeah, I think so. With no vowels. Yeah, EMBR. Ember. Mug. No, there's an E. EMBER.
Oh, there's two E's. Okay, great. No, that's great. I think that's good. I might buy that maybe. No, it's not stupid though.
I spent $100 on it.
It's $100 for one mug?
I can't sleep at night and I'm buying shit. I don't know
what
to do.
That app better be free. If they make you download an app and pay $199, I'm going to burn that mug down, throw it through a window.
Okay. Here's something that has been invented.
Kathleen.
It's actually a really good idea. I know a lot of people that could get good use out of this.
You already bought it. What is it?
No, I didn't buy it. Speaking of USB things.
Oh, no.
There is a USB foot cooler.
Kathleen.
So if you're worried about stinky or smelly feet in the summer or in the winter or in your Uggs, you know, whatever, fear not. Keep your shoes, socks, and sweaty feet breezy with the USB foot cooler. It's a tube that straps to your leg, and then it slips into your shoe. It's connected to a USB cable, so you can power it by fan from your mobile device. But if you're out and about, you need to, like... Let me explain this better. I'm, like, too excited.
I'm picturing snow pants, but just the bottom portions, like, over your shoes.
You can't charge it. Per se, it needs to be plugged into a power source at all times. So the picture has, you know, when you're under house arrest and you have like something strapped to your ankle.
Yeah.
So you have this thing strapped to your ankle that's a battery. Okay. So that's your power source.
Okay.
And then a tube comes out of that strap on your ankle and it goes into your shoe and it pumps cool air into your shoe.
So you need two ankle monitors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it costs $36.
Aren't they clacking into each other as you walk?
No, because you put it on the outside.
Oh, you put it on the outside. So it's the summertime. So you're wearing shorts. So you're wearing two ankle monitors outside your clothes in the summer.
Yeah.
As you walk around.
Your feet are dry.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
No, it's not dumb because you know why? When, for me at least, the temperature of my feet controls the temperature of my whole body.
So are you going to get this?
Thinking about it. Have you ever been to the website thisiswhyimbroke.com?
No, but I am going to go now.
Thisiswhyimbroke.com. This is what I'm wrapping up. Just take a look at this. Gentle listener, Bethany, so many amazing things you can get on thisiswhyimbroke.com.
Do listeners think that I'm the meanest, most negative person ever? Probably.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm like the friend with all the big ideas and you're like, okay, we have no money to make this happen. You're just railing me in, reeling me in. You're railing me.
They have the impossible table. It will add an attention grabbing wow factor to any corner of your room. It's a 3D printed handmade beauty. It's an optical illusion that will mesmerize and add any charm to a workspace or tabletop. It's $35. So I'm guessing it's not an actual table. It's a small table.
Look at this. You can get a little penis cover for your light switch. So you flick a dick every time you want to turn the lights on and off.
Jesus Christ.
That's amazing.
This is so dumb.
You could get bars of soap that are shaped like dill pickles.
Poop knife. Dripping dookies will never be the same once the poop knife enters your life. The metal-reinforced and silicone-wrapped heaven scent will efficiently chop the pesky sewer snakes that need a little extra help on their way down. I wish I hadn't read that.
Bethany, you can get an umbrella that's shaped like a sword.
Oh, no.
It has a sword handle. It looks like a sword, but it's an umbrella. I know you want that.
I don't want it. I kind of want that.
They have a sleeping bag that's shaped like a big stuffed animal bear. They have a portable foldable bathtub for $189.
That's what you wanted. Hidden door kit. This is what I want. No home is complete without having at least one bookshelf that swings open to reveal a room full of hidden treasures and trinkets. This hidden door kit will allow you to transform your run-of-the-mill bookshelf into a passageway for an ensconced area of the home. $149.95. I want it.
There's so many good things on here.
3D printed dick turtles. What is happening? What is happening? Okay, Kathleen, this is amazing and sad at the same time.
They have a second portable foldable bathtub.
So, but you have to go somewhere where you have gallons and gallons and gallons of water, right?
This one, you blow it up and you put it next to your bathtub. Oh, I already have a bathtub, but it's so gross because it's also where I shower, so I don't want to use it.
Use it. It's all the same, you know? Kathleen,
yeah,
I need to crowdsource some advice.
Okay,
and this is something I've asked this question. I think I've asked it before in the pod, but I just need it hasn't worked out. So I have some stuffed animals that are old, mm-hmm. and I'm not terribly emotionally attached to them.
Okay,
but they're too old. I can't donate them. Mm. And here's the problem: I don't know how to throw them away. And it's not that. Like, take a picture of it and then throw it away so you'll always look at the picture and remember it. Yeah. It's how do you put a stuffed animal in the garbage mm-hmm. and close the lid knowing that you just put a stuffed animal who we all know comes to life when you leave your room in the garbage.
Nope. I mean, do these stuffed animals have significance or are they just like random things you've collected over the years?
They're random things I've collected over the years, okay. but so every stuffed animal has a soul and I can't put a sold item in the garbage. I don't know how I could live with myself. Just how do you close that garbage lid?
You use your hand and move. And you close
Kathleen,
it down.
You this doesn't bother
I
you?
Know,
you
no,
can
it
just
doesn't.
Throw a
Bethany
oh
Toy
God.
Story is not true.
I've always been like this. I always all of everything I have has a significance and like a soul. Okay. Even if it's not something I'm in love with, it's hard for me to get rid of things for that reason. Okay. I've come to the point where I think I need someone in my life to take a scissor and cut the head off of the stuffed animal so I know that it's not alive anymore.
So this is what I think you should do. I think you should gather all of your stuffed animals, put them in a garbage bag, and then you need to write like a really heartfelt goodbye letter. And then put the letter in the garbage bag with the animals and they know that they have been loved and then they will just go on their way.
Go on their way where? They're going to be stuck in a garbage bag for the rest of their lives.
Are they really in that poor shape that you can't donate?
Yeah, because I had once at our old job, someone gifted me a very giant stuffed animal. Mm. It was brand new and I tried to donate it to a hospital. I tried to donate it to a shelter and they wouldn't take it. Mm. They're like, there could be germs on it. They wouldn't take it.
What about Facebook Marketplace?
I mean, for kind of, I guess I can try. It's kind of,
yeah.
They're the ones that I am not terribly, I don't know. They're gross. They're like pilled up and they're, you know.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but people can wash those. You know, you can put stuffed animals in the washing machine. But anyway, I'm just saying, I think that that's how you should do it. You should put them in a garbage bag, write a goodbye note, and then send them on their way. Listen, they'll be fine.
It's tough. Please, if you're gentle listener, if you understand where I'm coming from, will you let me know how you were able to spiritually get rid of a stuffed animal knowing that you were throwing away a living being into the garbage?
On a different note, you and I are dressed very similarly today. What is that about?
I don't know. It's so funny when we both jumped online.
What's your top? It's navy blue. Is those flowers? Is that a caftan?
It's a caftan. It's actually, it's black. It's a black caftan and it has these parasol things on it. I would never normally get it, but Charlotte, our editor, introduced me to Trashy. Is it Trashy Gal? Trashy Diva.
Trashy Diva. I see it.
Trashy Diva. It's Trashy Diva.
Yeah.
And then Holzer Files, which is this paranormal show I love. Their psychic Cindy always wears amazing clothes and she was wearing this caftan. So I bought it and I love it.
Oh, I love it.
And what are you wearing?
You're wearing, you were influenced.
You're wearing like a black something with a print on it.
So it's navy blue.
Okay.
I have been pretty obsessed with buying vintage bombers and like light jackets and blouses on Poshmark lately, especially because we're filming. And so I feel like my tops need like a little refresh. So I've been buying everybody's grandma's stuff. It's like if grandma died of COVID and now you're selling it on Poshmark. I've been buying it up like crazy. And it's butterflies. I've been so obsessed with butterflies lately.
Butterflies are great. You should get a tattoo.
Yeah, butterflies can be really sophisticated. Some people mm-hmm. are like, oh, butterflies are for little kids. Mm-mm. Nah.
No. Mariah Carey had a whole phase centered around butterflies. If it's good enough for Mariah, it's good enough for you and me, you know?
Have you seen any of the Hulu documentary about Britney Spears?
No, I can't watch it because it makes me so angry. I've seen clips.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, the clip where Justin Timberlake was asked on a radio show, like, did you fuck her? And he was like, yeah, I fucked her. And then, like, another magazine cover is like, and he got in her pants. It makes me so mad because you know I've loved Britney for so long that it's like, yeah, of course. So I can't watch it. I can't watch it. But I do love that people are suddenly realizing like what a victim she is.
Yeah.
Have you watched it?
I watched the first couple minutes of it this morning when I was drinking my coffee. I have friends who have finished it. They have texted me how much they are now Justin Timberlake haters. They like hate him so much. But I watched his new movie that came out on Apple TV over the weekend, Samson. I thought it was great. It was fabulous. I will finish it, but I don't know if I'm gonna be just a JT hater because it's very one-sided, this documentary, obviously.
Yeah, I think part of me thinks yes, you always have to be careful with that with documentaries, but also I feel like we got his side in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And so now we're getting her side or a side representing her.
I wonder how Jessica Biel feels, you know? Do you think like she secretly watched it and she didn't let JT know? Or like had her friend send her, like asked a friend to watch it?
I bet she asked a friend to watch it. Yeah. Because, you know, they had that was he cheating scandal like last year.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Oh, maybe I don't like him.
I mean, but I also saw the video that they were saying, are they cheating? And it didn't look like it. It looked like two people who played lovers in a movie and so were close. But she wasn't like rubbing all over him. She was like rubbing his back. I think she put her hand on his knee once. I don't know. It's theater and performer people are weird. I don't know. I don't know, Kathleen. I don't know. I hope Britney's okay. I just want her to move in with me and I will take care of her and I will nurse her back to health. I've said this for years. I will help her. Oh, I love her so much.
I know you do. I know you do, baby girl. I love her.
She's been a victim from very young. What was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
Oh, face yoga.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me.
I tagged you in something last week.
Oh, I'm never on
social media. These videos keep popping up on my Instagram.
Okay.
I think we need to be doing face yoga.
Sure. I'll do anything.
Have you seen any of these videos?
No.
It's like people making fists and then digging out their cheekbones and moving them all around their face to develop the muscles in their face and tone the face. And I looked up the definition of face yoga. It says face yoga is a series of exercises that promise to do for your face what yoga does for your body, relax and tone the muscles. You don't get wrinkles from loss of elasticity in your muscles. You get wrinkles in your skin, and repetitive movement creates creases in the skin. So you're essentially like loosening up areas where you have repetitive movements in your skin.
I feel like that doesn't make sense to me.
That's why sometimes I put my fingers on my laugh lines and I
rub them out.
I give them a jiggle. Like,
here's my question. So face yoga is like you're really just massaging your face with your hands.
I'm going to look at it
in various ways.
Face yoga video. Yeah. It's kind of like that gua sha, that jade gua sha stone that I have.
Because if that was a way to tone muscles, then people who got a lot of massages would be really toned, right? But you have to actively work out and like clench and release and tighten and release those muscles. So wouldn't just the act of living your life day to day and making expressions actually tone those muscles in your face more than moving them around?
I think you need to think of it like if you're an elite athlete, you get massages in your muscles on a regular basis so that you can take your muscles to the next level to, you know, like work out the kinks and take your muscles to the next level. And I think that if you think of your face as an elite athlete.
I do think of it that way.
Working out every single day, talking, making expressions, whatever. You need to work out the kinks to take your face to the next level, which is face yoga, which is anti-aging.
Okay. I'll do that. You know, have you ever seen the making of whenever they do like a motion capture something and they show you the technology of the person's face and they're just going through the different emotions the face can make. So it's like this not fully rendered face on a computer screen. Yes. And it's just like smile, blank, scared, blank, afraid, blank, confused, blank. That's what we need to do to like work out our faces. And then we do face yoga after to like loosen it all up.
I'm watching this video right now. It says above the eyes, you want to get the feeling right. The second one motion you need to do is the yummy face. Yummy face. I wish I had known this pose earlier because it makes me look happier.
I like that they're calling them poses.
It's so crazy. It's so it's
like this is real yoga.
Not so bananas.
Have you ever had a good face massage, Kathleen?
No, I don't really go to the spa.
This was years ago. I was on a work trip and part of the work trip was like, we're going to treat you. I think, I don't know what it was. I think it was like a press junket or something. So they really want everyone to really like the project. And so they like give you presents.
Yeah.
So part of it was a massage. And the man who gave me the massage was blind. And it was the most incredible massage I've ever had in my life. And part of it was he massaged my face. And Kathleen, chills. Just like muscles that like cheek. And like those jaw, if you have like tense jaw and like around the forehead and the temples. And he was just like tapping my face and just like chills. It was unbelievable. So I can definitely see, if nothing else, it makes you feel better.
That sounds lovely.
It was lovely.
Makes me want COVID to go away.
I know. So you can go back and get a wonderful massage.
I want my feet. I want to get my pedicure. There's so many things like that I would like to do, but you can't because of COVID right now. Ugh.
And I maintain, once COVID is done, I've asked this for years, but I guess we're just bringing up old requests right now. Yeah. I really want someone to open a store where people just play with your hair. It's not a blowout bar. It's not a salon.
Yeah.
You just walk in and they brush your hair. Maybe they braid it and then they take the braid out again and they run their nails through your hair.
Yes.
And they like scoop it off your neck and they just kind of like, they just play with your hair for as long as you want. You pay by the minute.
Like a lover.
I'd pay. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'd pay so much money for that.
That's like when Neil really wants to get me in the mood. He's like, he plays with my hair and I'm like, baby, don't stop. Don't stop, baby.
Whenever we see gorillas picking nits out of each other, it's really just foreplay. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Oh, I'm very excited to tell you. Okay.
What's that?
I've been buying a lot of home things on the internets lately because I'm refurbishing. I'm helping my mom refurbish her house. I discovered that at marshalls.com. Okay.
Marshalls, the website?
At marshalls.com. I guess because Marshalls is considered like a bargain brand, companies don't necessarily want it to be widely known that their brand is in Marshalls, okay?
Okay, fair.
So I think Marshalls just got a website recently, or they just redid it, because they've been targeting me hardcore, and I'm like happy to click away.
Yeah, like bring it. Here's my open arms.
I'm looking for a rug, and there is a very expensive rug brand called Loi Loi. I'm saying this wrong.
How else could you pronounce it?
L-O-L-O-I, Loi. Loi. Okay. They are high-end rugs.
Okay.
I found one for like 25% of, so 75% off on Marshalls. But here's the thing. You cannot search the name of the brand on Marshalls. So if you're searching discounted Loi rugs, Marshalls.com is never going to come up. I believe that there are other websites out there sort of like the same way. So the name of the actual brand is never going to come up. So you have to physically go into Marshalls and look at the rugs and spot the one you want. And sometimes it's even so secretive that you don't see the name of the brand until you click on the product. But it was a fraction of what this rug typically costs. And this rug was still full price on a lot of websites.
Kathleen, this is huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
You just changed lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you just stumbled upon this fact because you happened to see it on Marshalls.com?
I got targeted on Facebook for Marshalls.
God bless. And then God bless those targeted ads.
I started clicking away and I was like, wait a minute, I recognize that rug. That rug's all over Pinterest. That's an expensive rug. And I think originally it was like $300 and it was like $35 on Marshalls.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen, that's huge. I'm going to be going to Marshalls.com. This is not an ad for Marshalls.com,
no,
by the way.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Mine also involves the home. Mm. One of my favorite things to do in the morning to put myself in a good mood is to read home redecoration websites. Mm. I'm obsessed with Domino right now. It's my favorite.
Love Domino. Yeah.
I love, they send me the best emails. I read them every morning. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they recommended, which is so cool, is if you have one of those walls where it's like a very small wall.
Yeah.
And then there's a larger wall next to it, but it's like an indentation. It's like you have one behind you right now, Kathleen.
Yes.
You know, it's just like a little recessed part. And to add a little zhuzh and make the room a little bit more dimensional.
Yeah.
What they recommend doing is painting an archway in that small space.
How cool.
So, you know, you space it out maybe 3 or 4 inches from the side of that wall.
Yeah.
And then you paint a big arch shape and then you paint that a different color. And it just helps highlight whatever you have in that corner, like a bar cart or whatever. It just makes it seem like it's very intentional and it sets it off. And it's really cool. It's really, so we're actually doing it at Dennis's because he's going to repaint his living room and we're doing it there. And it's just, it makes it this whole new kind of space.
I feel like you just repainted his living room.
We just repainted his bedroom.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
But now we're repainting his living room.
There's an art to repainting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all prep work. Paint. Mm-hmm. Once you get to painting, you're almost done.
I know.
The prep work is the hard part. You got to wash those walls.
Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Miss Bethany Watson. You can find me on Twitter at Radio Bethany. What about you, Kathleen?
You can find me on everything at Webgirl Kathleen.
You can also find our podcast on social media. On Twitter, we're at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
On Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
Let's see what's next. We have an electronic mail address. That's anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We have a physical mail address, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
At the end of every podcast, we play your voicemails. If you want to text us or call us, our phone number is 917-994-0353.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
This podcast is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can find her on Twitter at Chargar and on Instagram at lit_fuck.
And if you're watching a video of us right now, that video is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on all social media, Dennis Callo.
I think that's it.
I think that's it too. Mm. All right, Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey ladies, Taste Bud Amanda from Hershey, PA. I was listening to the latest podcast, and I just want to let you guys know, Bethany was talking about, like, people ripping out their IVs and stuff like that, and about directions in which it would hurt. Just letting you know that the IVs, once they're in, there's no needle. So it's literally just, like, a straw in your skin so that we can give you medication and fluids. So it actually doesn't hurt when you take an IV out, no matter which direction you pull it out. I've had plenty of patients rip them out in very creative ways. They are not bothered. So just so I'd let you know and let any taste buds know that haven't gotten an IV, the needle does not stay in your arm. So hopefully you guys are having a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend coming up. Love you guys. Hope to talk to you soon. Bye.
Hello, sweet ladies. This is Alicia, Taste Bud Alicia. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I just listened to your last podcast with the Cosmo headlines, and Bethany was talking about the Forged in Fire show. I just wanted to bring up that real quick. So, Bethany, I love that you are a badass bitch and you want to be a swordsmith and a bladesmith. I think that's super cool and fantastic, but I did want to tell you about a cautionary tale of a gentleman in a town next to my hometown who also was inspired by Forged in Fire, and he decided that he was going to also be a swordsmith and ended up burning down an entire city block. So it was businesses and people's homes. People were homeless. He, in his basement, decided to forge some things in fire. So please be careful. Do it outside. Don't do it inside. You can actually look it up online. It was an actual news headline. I think he ended up going to jail. So please be careful.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. I'm listening to your latest bonus podcast where you read the letter from Miss K.
Catherine of the mail room. You had mentioned Bumble BFF, and I just wanted to call in because I'm an active member of Bumble BFF, and I have met 4 amazing friends off of that app within the last year and a half. Each one of those friends I didn't know I needed. They each brought something unique to the table and something that I didn't know I needed. And while maybe all of them don't have everything in common with me, or we don't see each other that often, they each still give me something that means a lot to me. It makes me care for them as I would any other friend. If Miss Catherine was interested in downloading Bumble BFF, I honestly believe that it works and it's a great place. And all of her interests that she says she likes, I've seen people on the app that also like those interests. I see them all the time on there. And even if she doesn't meet up with them, they can still just talk. And that could give her the friendship that she's desiring in a female, if that's something that she were to want. I think it's a great app for you to try out. It's a little awkward at first, honestly, but everyone on that app is also looking for friends or can't make friends or don't have the correct friend group that they're in now, and we're all in the same boat.
Everyone must watch Lonely Hearts. It is the best. First of all, as soon as I saw your cats were in it, you had me. I really hope you're using that rotary phone for real at home. And after that point, though, I was like, oh my God, I loved it. I don't want to spoil anything. Everybody, seriously, watch it. You're going to love it. And tell me what the significance of Lokios is. I mean, I know the cat's name, but, you know, what's the significance of that?
Hello, my sweet, sweet friends. This is a message for Kathleen, and it's going to be a panting message because I'm carrying groceries through the streets of New York City. Anyway, I noticed that... this has probably been addressed already because I'm 2 episodes behind, and it's totally fine. I have said this before. I need to get my BMI down, and I was saying it to my therapist, and she said, did you know that BMI was a tool created by a German mathematician to essentially segregate certain groups of people from others in society, i.e. heavier groups of people, i.e. people of color, so that... and, you know, by denoting them with a specific number. And if they didn't fit in with the correct number, they were wrong and bad and quote-unquote overweight. But BMI, as we probably have come to realize in the 21st century, is not an accurate estimate of your health because it doesn't take into account your body shape, your muscle mass, et cetera. So I just want you to know that if you are working toward a certain BMI, you know, there are other ways to figure out if you are healthy or not. And if you do choose to lose weight, then it should be based on a different scale entirely. Love you guys.
Bye. Hey, ladies. It's Taste Bud Kelsey from Texas. Kathleen, I just want to say that I'm excited for your new journey of sharing all of your tips, your art, every part of it. And at the very least, I'm excited about all of your tips for websites, web design, different apps and things like that. I have been maneuvering it myself, and seeing anyone who's got any good tips that would save me some time in finding out what works, I am all for it. Loved your video with the snowman attacking. That was amazing. Anyway, hope you ladies have a great day. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. So I'm listening. This is Taste Bud Jessica. Listening to the most recent pod, I think, and you guys are once again talking about, you know, people being kidnapped or hiding away or whatever, and Kathleen, you mentioned edit, Rebel Wilson, and I also wanted to mention, because I feel like nobody in America has really covered this, but Duffy, the British singer and songwriter, she also like disappeared for a really long time from social media, and this past year, she emerged and she posted on her Instagram account how she was kidnapped and captured. And like after that, when she came back, they took her like to different countries and, you know, they abused her. And when she came back, obviously she went completely radio silent. And so like nobody knew where, you know, she was missing from the public eye for many years. And she has finally just come out releasing this story, which is so brave. And it's crazy to me that people haven't really covered it. I mean,
you know, I know she was bigger in Britain than she was here, but, you know, her song, Begging You for Mercy, like, it was such a big hit. I don't know. I was thinking about that, and I just think that's fascinating. And, I mean, I would never want to exploit talking about somebody that doesn't want to talk about it, but, like, I thought you guys should at least, like, look into it yourself. It's, like, really heartbreaking, and girl is so strong.